Stephen Jill here. Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today we have a special show. We have Jason Mayfield with us, Land Academy member since 2017. Jason and Jill had an exchange on Facebook. And
I'm gonna
ask Jill to read it. I think she's got it on her phone. Read it as an introduction to Jason's background, because it's really very telling. Along with your response. And then Jason's just in the pre-show here. I mean, the background that you're obviously living the Land Academy thing.
Totally. I didn't realize how much I loved land. It's grown into something bigger than just a career. It's like an obsession now.
That's what it's always been for me too. Same thing. But Jill, go ahead.
Okay. So here's this is just a couple days ago. I love this. So we had advertised, put a video together of our 5 years anniversary of Land Academy, and I'm just laying in bed trolling through things, and I see your post, Jason, and it said, I was a Land Academy member from early 2017 and have so much gratitude for the model that Jack and Jill have brought me. I went from a massage therapist living paycheck to paycheck and capped out of earning potential to living my dreams in Colorado, as we see, and working for myself. I did so by creatively applying the Land Academy model to recreational and residential markets. After 18 months, I matched my massage career yearly wage, and in the next year, I tripled my wage. After that, I went full-time with it. It has given me the freedom and the foundation for the life of my dreams. I hope to personally thank them someday for this gift. So I wrote back, wow, Jason Mayfield, thank you for sharing your story. You are why we're here. Reading how you were able to take our business model and transition to the life of your dreams makes me want to get up an hour earlier every day and work even harder to help more. Congrats. And please keep me posted to your success. And then I said, of course, I too look forward to that in-person chance to connect. And here we kind of are. So yeah. We'll get to do it. Someday we'll get to give each other a hug again when it's not a felony. But So we're so glad that you're here and you agreed to do this with us.
Well, I'm going to start the whole thing out by asking you the question that everybody who's watching this or listening to this has for you. Did this make so much sense to you? What is it about you that you just made this so successful for yourself?
I'm a entrepreneur. I always wanted to figure out how to do it myself, because I tried doing the office cubicle thing right after I left college, and it was a painful 4.5 years of my life. I swore to myself that if I was ever going to work that hard again, it better be towards my own dreams and my own goals. So whenever I left the corporate world, and that's when I started doing massage therapy, which was a beautiful career, and I really enjoyed it. But I've realized that my ability to perform massage is going to diminish over time. As I get older, I'm going to be able to do less massage. And then I already saw that I was capped out with my income. So whenever I started to think I need a second career, I thought, well, maybe real estate's a good way to go, because I had bought a house and I'd rented out the extra rooms of the house and let the roommates just pay for the house. So I knew that rate had like something to it. And so really, I started my search by going to local real estate investing circles and talks. I just wasn't comfortable diving into the deep end of the pool with very expensive $400,000 houses in Austin, Texas. So I was like, man, there has to be another angle at getting into this. My ambition is so strong to really make this happen. So what did I do? But started reading articles, and I went on BiggerPockets, and I found an article written by you, Steve, that was about direct mail. I think I was looking up how to write yellow letters, and I don't know if his was said yellow letters or if it was just about direct mail in general, but I really liked the article. I thought, just out of curiosity, what does this guy do, you know, with his investment? What's his angle at getting into it? That's when, you know, boom, I like read your profile, found out your niche is undervalued rural land. And I thought, nobody's ever mentioned that. It's such a unique angle. Starting off with land just kind of made a lot of sense. You could do it with very little money, was just right up my alley. I had the time on my hands because I was self-employed and I had the drive, but I didn't have a lot of money. The pieces kind of came together whenever I fell into your program.
I'm going to MC this. Because I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
Tell us about your first deal.
So I was trying to be very true to form with the Land Academy model and to buy super inexpensive $100 per acre desert properties. And I wanted to stay in Texas because I'm from Texas and I wanted to be able to drive to my property, not do it sight unseen. I actually bought it before I saw it, but I did try to go see it. It was in West Texas, Carroll County. So I bought property in that county. I bought two properties at the same time from an owner that had never seen them. He couldn't tell me anything about the property other than, well, I inherited it from my aunt. She had it since the 20s and had these super old deeds to show for it. I tried to go out to see these properties after I sent them the payment and bought the properties, both completely landlocked. So I did the best I could with one property. I marketed it and sold it. Then the second property, I just wasn't having success selling it. I wanted to just cut bait. So I put it on eBay. And luckily, this property had come with its mineral rights and I was able to sell it. And between the two properties, I made a profit. I doubled my money on the first one and then almost made my money back on the second one. So I made a little bit of a profit at first. And then I wasn't done with that county. I bought two more properties. These are all horror stories, by the way.
What I have to say, though, is it didn't make you quit.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. The feeling of actually getting your phone to ring after you've sent a mailer and seeing that people are willing to talk to a stranger about buying a property and willing to do a deal completely remotely was exhilarating. And even the process of trying to figure out how to overcome these challenges was exhilarating. Even though it was all kind of a break-even kind of wash on my first round of properties, I was relentless on it. The third property I bought was this property that was enclosed in a adverse possession entanglement. The ranch that surrounded all sides of it were buying up all the perimeter properties they could and trying to squeeze out and use other people's properties and use a lawyer and years of time to adversely possess that property that other people own outright and pay taxes on. But I was able to actually fight back and get them to buy that property from me.
What advice would you have or do you have? Well, you know what? First, can you describe your background?
Yeah.
So this is Durango, Colorado. It's 14 hours away from Austin. I picked it because I'm an avid mountain biker and Durango is an amazing destination for all things outdoors.
So have you done a bunch of Colorado deals? Is this kind of a spoils where you're sitting right now, a spoils for you?
So I've been doing land for 4 years now, and I always just stayed in Texas. So just this year, I'm going to go ahead and expand my boundaries a little bit, and I started to market, and I bought a couple of Colorado properties. It's amazing. So
do you know what your next step is and what you've kind of, have you mapped out the next sections or portions of your real estate career?
I'm going to continue to flip land as a superb cash generating strategy. Then once I start getting nest eggs of capital, then I want to actually do apartment syndications because I'd like to go into income producing, but I don't want to do single family house. I want to pool my money with other investors and do syndications.
So I'm going to give you some unsolicited advice here. You can do what you want, but I got off a 2-hour conference call today about next step in my career. And it was all about mobile home entitlement syndications more than apartments because, and I agree with this, apartments, the regulations, especially in California, I don't think it's too bad in Arizona or Colorado actually, but it's kind of tough in Colorado, are very, very difficult. They're going in the favor of the tenant. Whereas a person who owns a mobile home and they're leasing land in a mobile home park or on a piece of dirt, you know, mobile homes and land they're one and the same. So I was convinced after getting off the conference call, this guy runs a REIT, you know, real estate investment trust for mobiles. So I would heavily encourage you to take a look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the same idea, pool hundreds of thousands of dollars of other investors' money in together and find a income generating asset that you can increase revenues and lower expenses and you know, get yourself something that you can really leverage and you can have somebody else manage it.
That's great. You know, I'll tell you, we were just telling a story. We just got interviewed on another person's show right before we sat down to record this with you. And we were talking about other types of real estate.
Yeah.
And I said this, every once in a while, Jill and I go into other types of real estate. We buy an apartment building or houses or whatever. And not to flip them, but, you know, and we do really well flipping houses into the same model. But maybe, you know, there's been a couple of two or three periods since we started working together where we bought rental houses and we last about 6 months in that because we look at each other and say, I don't want to do it. And how much money could we have made?
Yeah.
Just flipping land.
Exactly.
So for some reason, it's always right back to what we started because I originally started this, not Land Academy, but the just buying and selling land part to become a triple net, you know, bank branch owner. Just like you, like I had a plan and I started down that path and it just is not as profitable. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't sound like it bothers you either.
It doesn't. I'm just thinking like scalability of where things are going. I kind of actually got kind of wrapped up year number three in the success of how well this land thing was going. I mean, it went from, you know, first year, I was just learning my lessons. Second year matched my primary career's income. Third year tripled the primary career's income, and then now fourth year I'm on pace to continue to grow, and I actually overextended myself with as far as my focuses. I pulled back. I was watching you through the corona lockdown, and it actually made me feel more grounded and feel like, yeah, don't steer off into the weeds with all this other stuff.
That is exactly. The number one topic that Jill and I talked about is our own time management and focusing.
Right.
We have really, over the last 5 years since we started Land Academy, spread ourselves really thin. And it's time to reel it back in a little bit. We've decided it.
Mm-hmm. One of us has something shiny and then it's all over. This is what we're doing today. Like, wait a minute.
Well, it has to be incredibly like regimented and disciplined to do the podcast and yeah. and the calls and then produce the great products that I actually still use. I still am an avid offers to owners mail customer. You all pointed me towards DataTree, so I'm all about that. You know, so it's if it weren't for the tools that you all have laid out and the repeated encouraging, I think it would have been a bumpier process.
That's great to hear, Jason. I'm glad I'm truly, with my soul, glad it's working out for you.
Yes.
You know, because it's really interesting because you guys had an exchange on Facebook, and we don't know, like Jill and I don't know how successful this is. Every week, it seems like somebody kind of comes out of the woodwork like you did, I guess it was last week or this week,
mm-hmm.
and tells a real story. And I really appreciate it. I'm really glad it's working out for you.
Sure, absolutely. It's tremendous. And I mean, I'd love to share copious amounts of notes of my experiences because I not only was I learning from you all, but I also was studying other real estate gurus and comparing and seeing if there was any missing pieces that I could like supplement and add to it and so forth. And it's amazing how, like, for instance, you don't have to build a buyer's list for land. Like I like to just hotel, like wholesale on the MLS. That's a huge difference. I don't know. There's just so many things.
Is our video going to be funny?
I would love for you to take a couple minutes and
please share whatever you want to share. That would be so awesome,
especially for newer people who are listening or struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for one, don't be afraid to take massive action. It's a bold step to send out the mailers and to be willing to take the inbound calls of both the people who accept your offer. If you price low, you're going to get a lot of hate, phone calls, calling you some names, and you got to have to have a little bit of a thick skin about it. Never give up and push through. Every market has its own lesson to be learned. I always wanted you all to get kind of more into the weeds whenever you're given your educational material about, beware of this and beware of that. But then once I got into the weeds myself, I was like, there's no way they would be able to cover all the guy things and all the little caveats that you have to look for. And if someone tried to research all of those things before they even pulled the trigger, they would never do a deal.
Think about the differences between, for example, East Texas and West Texas, like different worlds, different universes.
So it was already your own business. You just pivoted from one business to another, one that makes more money, obviously, than the last business. So,
right.
Was that scary at all, or? And have you built up a staff?
It wasn't scary for sure, because it happened over a 3-year time frame, overlapping businesses. Because luckily with my old business, I had it was only about half of the hours of the week. Then the other half, every second I had, I was going back and seeing what I could tweak and push the ball forward with my land business. So I use Pat Live for my answering service, and that takes a huge amount of urgent but not necessarily important calls like off my shoulders, and also it puts it into an email format so I can do my research on the property versus like scrambling while I'm getting a caller on the line trying to figure out what property are they talking about. I like to have my homework in place whenever I call them back, so that way I can say absolutely let's go forward with this deal, or maybe not. I do need to integrate some more assistants to continue to scale. I tried my hand at an assistant back at the beginning of the year, whenever I was spreading myself all thin and trying to chase down houses and chase down and this and that, and go to all these networking meetings that were actually driving myself away from my bread and butter here. Actually, I've already reestablished it, but maybe in the near future, I'll start looking into assistant.
Yeah, it's hard not to get distracted sometimes with something shiny. I totally understand that.
So many properties do you have in the works right now from an acquisition and sales standpoint?
So in my inventory, I have about 4 or 5 from a pipeline perspective. I have about another 5 or 6 in the pipeline.
What's a typical deal for you now? Buy for what? Sell for what?
It's usually, if I'm buying little small lots, I'll buy them for between $3,000 to $12,000, and then flip them for 2 to 3 times more. Paying half of what I'm going to sell it for is more than fair for me, and it's a very safe margin.
You know, I think that's really hard for some people.
Right.
Some people are just hardwired to bargain, to negotiate everything, and just milk it for every cent.
Right.
And that was hard for me to get over early on.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like painting with a broad brush. You know, you don't have to really sweat it too much, as long as you know that you're buying it significantly discounted. 50% is a great mark, and I love properties that are commutable distance to jobs. So because they just sell like hotcakes, Texas is booming. I love doing the biz. So I have most of my properties in my inventory are residential lots. Some of them are, I love the unrestricted ones that you could put a manufactured home on. Those are actually more valuable than the restricted property that it's like a property that you'd put $1 million house on is not worth as much as one you'd put $80,000 trailer on. So I absolutely love manufactured home lots. But I'm not afraid to touch a lot in a subdivision either. If I know that I'm getting it for half of its value and I can see comps that prove that number time and time again then I'll buy it and get my hand at it.
Awesome.
I love it. I'm so glad. Are you running out of inventory? I've been hearing a lot of that.
Usually, the longest process is the acquisition through a title company. Mm-hmm. As soon as, it'll take me 4 or 5 weeks to get through title. And then finally, once I have the possession of it, it will sell in 1 week or less. I'll have a buyer, and then And then, you know, then I got to wait another 4 weeks until the title company finishes their process. Title company is definitely the bottleneck of the business, and survey. So like survey can be survey companies can take like 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks to complete their end of the bargain.
That's how I know what you're doing, because yep. Those are the same two problems we have.
Yep.
I sourced my capital from friends and family and other investors that I network with. Try to give them a big healthy return on investment. I usually do at least 10% return on investment. Let's say if we did three deals together, I mean that's 30% return on your money in 1 year.
Careful, word's going to get out with your whole family.
Yeah, well, you're going to get some calls from this show.
Yeah, sure. That's true. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, should I plug my contact info?
Yeah, right.
Sure, if you want to.
My name's Jason Mayfield, and email address is service@landacrew.com. That's service at landacrew.com.
Hey, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Any parting advice at all, or any questions you might have for us?
For us, yeah.
Well, I mean, when are you going to come visit Durango? I mean, look, the San Juan Mountains are right behind me, and if you look close, there's that the Animas River is flows right in the middle in the valley, goes through here. This place is absolutely gorgeous. And you can ride a steam train from here up through the mountain pass to get to Silverton. And apparently it's like the most scenic train ride in the entire nation. You all have done so much for my world, and I can't speak highly enough about it.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you very much. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for inviting me on. This is such an honor.
Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, and find us here on the Land Academy Show. Join us tomorrow
for another interesting episode, because you are not alone in your real estate ambition. We are Steve and Jill.
Oh, we're going to do right into that?
No, it's just, okay. Our mojo, so it's fine.
All right.
Super great interview. Thank you. Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.